Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
His encounter with a mugger in a dark alley in the back of the church at Notre Dame, and as the priest was making his way down the alley to his parked car, a man suddenly emerged from the shadows, thrusting the muzzle of a revolver into the ribs, demanding, "Hand me your wallet." Offering no word of protest, the priest immediately began to comply. And as he reached into his pocket, his clerical collar became evident in the dim light, catching the robber off guard. "Are you a priest?" he exclaimed. "Yes, I am," the priest replied. "Oh, I don't rob priests," the thief responded. "I'm Catholic too." Greatly relieved, the priest withdrew a cigar from his inside pocket and offered it to the penitent thief. "Oh no, I can't do that. I'm a man of conviction," the thief exclaimed. "I've given that up for Lent." Now, I don't know what your convictions are, but we're going to talk about it this morning. Convictions are behaviors, strongly held beliefs, that affect our behavior. And so we all have convictions. Some let others know what they are more than others. But sometimes we might wonder what your convictions are because we don't know. But sometimes we say things like, "How can you do that when you oppose this? I don't get it," right? But I believe there are three things that monitor our behavior. And I want to look at that this morning as we continue our series in the book of Romans. We do a series every summer called Route 66, and we do that because there are 66 books in the Bible, and we go through one of those books, and we just sometimes verse by verse, sometimes chapter by chapter, and we're in chapter 14 today of Romans. We're kind of getting to the end. There's only one more message in this series, but as we continue this series, I want us to look at three things that affect our behaviors. One is our convictions, right? Our convictions. The other is the law, right? Laws affect our behaviors, right? Sometimes we obey the laws, sometimes we don't. And then there's biblical truth. So three things that affect our behavior: biblical truth, the law, and personal convictions. There's a lot of confusion between especially two of these, and we're going to focus in on two of these things, but there's a lot of confusion between biblical truths and our personal convictions. See, biblical truth is non-negotiable, all right? It's those things that are non-negotiable in our lives. That's the non-negotiable stuff. Convictions have more to do with our conscience. Convictions take up where biblical truth or biblical revelation and the law leave off. So convictions determine what my conduct should be in those areas not specifically prescribed by Scripture. And we need to, this morning, we need to recognize what our convictions are and know that they are convictions. Convictions are not the true test of holiness. Sometimes there's an idea that if I have all these convictions and I let everybody know my convictions and my convictions are deeper than your convictions, that it's some sign of holiness. It's not the true test of holiness. And convictions are not the fundamentals of faith, all right? Now, when I first got saved, my convictions were a certain way. Of course, they changed. There was a period in my life when I first started following Jesus where I gave up TV. And when we first got married, when Rob and I first got married, maybe I should clarify too, for those of you who are new guests, there really wasn't anything between me and my ex-girlfriend. Really wasn't. I was friends with her family. I really, really, really wasn't anything. But Robin wasn't having it either way. So, but anyway, back to when we first got married, I had to go down there. I decided, primarily, and she just went along with my crazy ideas, but they were necessary. My conviction was that we weren't going to have a TV. One of the reasons was because I grew up with a strong addiction to pornography, and there were things that would trigger that, and I just didn't want anything to do that, and I wanted our marriage to be to just focus on each other, and I didn't want to waste our time on TV, and so I had all these different reasons, and so we just didn't have a TV. And so we lived like that for a probably at least a year, you know, and then we broke down and we got a TV. So my convictions changed. There was also a conviction when I first got saved. Now, I grew up in the 80s and probably the best music ever, you know. But when I first got saved, I went through this time in my relationship with the Lord where, I felt like the Lord said, I don't want you to listen to anything but Christian music. And so I literally gave away all of my, remember the cassette clubs you could join? Was it Columbia House or something? Remember that? Some old school people in the house. But I had all those cassette tapes. You're like, what is that? That's the thing in that your old vehicle. So I had all these cassettes. I literally gave them to my brother. Because the Lord said to me, I don't want you to listen to anything but Christian music. So there's just a few convictions. I've had so many different convictions. I've got convictions now. But my convictions, your convictions, they draw a line between what we will do and what we will not do as an exercise of our Christian liberty. That's going to make sense in just a little bit. See, the question is not so much, can I do this or that, but should I do this or that? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. See, I believe convictions are a reflection of one's strength or weakness. And most church fights throughout history were not over biblical issues, but over personal convictions. In Romans chapter 14, it's kind of a long passage of scripture, and I want to go into this, and so don't fall asleep while I'm reading it. It's on the screen, so read with me. I think this is such an important message for us, especially as we pursue the Lord and grow closer to Him. And as we do, the Lord speaks to us about things. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us, and there are convictions that we have. And so this is an important message today. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to read all the way through 14 and even into 15, so hang in there. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. We're going to come back to that. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than the other. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him, it's unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Y'all still awake? Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Let me read that again, because I think some of you might have missed it. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Verse 15, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. I'm going to remove the law. We all kind of a no-brainer, right? Those three things that affect our behaviors, that monitor our behaviors, is our personal conviction, the law, and then biblical truth. Convictions are necessary because of the grace of God. See, in God's grace, he pardons us, he forgives us, he sets us free. We're no longer under the law, but we're under now grace. And convictions are necessary because where the law, where biblical truth stop, or at least are silent, convictions pick up. I said it like this, here's my bottom line. Where the Bible is silent, my convictions will guide me. Where the Bible is silent, my convictions will guide me. You realize not everything's in the Bible, right? People ask me all the time, Pastor, what's the Bible say about this? What's the Bible say? You know, and I know why they're asking this is because they're looking for permission to do something. And the Bible doesn't have things to say about everything. Whether you listen to Christian music or not, you're not going to find that in the Bible. Now, you can try to find it in the Bible, but maybe find something that kind of comes around close but you're not going to find it. We work really hard in Christianity to prove that it's a sin to drink alcohol, but you're not going to find that in the Bible. I'm just sorry. You're not going to find that, but you are going to find that it's a sin to get drunk. So sometimes when the Bible's silent, we try to pull things out, and we try to make up something and work it to back up what we are feeling in our convictions. So when the Bible's silent, my convictions guide me. 14, verse 1, he says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Disputable matters. Paul calls these areas where the Bible doesn't expressly give direction, he calls it disputable matters. We call it personal convictions. There were two disputable matters in the Church of Rome that he was addressing specifically. And the reason he was addressing these disputable matters or these personal convictions, the reason he was addressing these things was because he was trying to guard unity. See, what gives us power as the church, what strengthens us and what makes us effective in this community, in this world, is our unity. And over the next 2 weeks, starting today, we're going to talk about those things that are trying to eat away at or erode the foundation of our unity. The enemy's constantly trying to sow division in every church. And he does it through different ways. We'll look at next week another way that he does. But specifically today, Paul addresses these disputable matters, these things that are personal convictions. And two of them were the eating of meat offered to idols. Now, we don't have that issue today, right? It's not a disputable matter. It's not something we struggle with in this church. Maybe in some other church around the world. depending on their customs, but we don't have that issue. But another thing was the celebrating of pagan holidays. Now, okay, we are coming up on Halloween, and so we'll get into that some, right? That happens. I used to, early on, when we had kids, we never let our kids trick-or-treat. We never gave out candy for trick-or-treaters. Some of you probably think, you are a grumpy old man. We would either act like we weren't home. Some of you are guilty. You know what I'm talking about. You can just stay silent. Let me take the heat. Or we would actually go out somewhere. But that was our conviction. It was about a holiday. And I don't know what your conviction is towards that. You might want to tell me later. But I don't feel the same way that I used to. Now, let me just clarify. I haven't embraced everything that the world has to offer about Halloween. Not even close. But I really don't have to worry too much about trick-or-treaters because we don't have any kids in our neighborhood. Nobody wanders around. But if I did, I'd give some kids some candy. But I don't want to get sidetracked on that because we can go down that rabbit hole for a long time. But here's what Paul was dealing with in the church in Rome, these disputable matters that, may seem not so big to us now, but for them, they were very big issues. And disputable issues still divide and hurt Christians today. Now, maybe ours isn't about eating meat offered to idols. And maybe it's not about celebrating pagan holidays. But maybe it's about drinking alcohol or smoking or dancing. I mean, how many, you wouldn't even think about it now. But listen, the church I grew up in or got saved in, you did not dance. You're going to hell. Unless it was dancing before the Lord. If you danced like David danced before the Lord, it was okay. But you did not gyrate. You know what I'm talking about? Any old school? No, I'm the only one. And here I get saved. I'm like, what's up with that? So, dancing, disputable matters. It's probably not too disputable now. Just don't let me dance. That's disputable. Or Reiner, don't let him dance. How about the way we dress? Man, as a youth pastor, we would take our kids to the beach because we were in Florida. We were here in South Carolina. We'd go to Myrtle Beach. We'd take them to Florida beaches. We'd go, or we'd have pool parties. And every time it always came up, well, who's going to tell the girls they can't wear skimpy bathing suits? I'm like, well, I'm not telling them. Robin, you tell them. That's your job, right? And so it was like, okay, you can't wear a two-piece. You have to wear a one-piece. Y'all remember this? I'm sorry. I'm just kind of going old school this morning. I'm gonna blow his cover. We have Matt Hogue here this morning. He's our new district youth director for the Assemblies of God in South Carolina. He's back there in the back. You can say hey to him later. But Matt is going to have to deal with this stuff in youth camps. Because in youth camps, we couldn't let the girls swim at the same times that the guys swim. Because, so we would say, okay, girls, you can't wear a two-piece bathing suit. Some of you young girls are like, what? And so it was, you can't wear a two-piece bathing suit. And then we realized, goodness, some of these one-pieces, there's less material than the two-piece. So, it's like, what do? You start measuring square inches of cloth and, okay, that passes, that doesn't. Listen, there's disputable matters. Now, I know you can get real biblical and you can pull up all kinds of verses of scripture to back here, but there's disputable matters. We don't say, hey, ladies, you need to wear dresses down to your ankles because, or shirts up to your collar. It's disputable matters. There's always been disputable matters. Movies. We were going to show a movie for drive-in movie, Spider-Man, Far From Home or something like that, and we're like moving. I'm like I jump and then I'm like, oh, we should figure this thing out, right? And everyone picks on me and staff, but I'm very quick to action. So when I get an idea, I'm like, let's do it, yesterday. And so we're doing this drive-in movie, and we're getting everything going, and all of a sudden someone says, hey, there's a curse word in that movie. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's a Spider-Man movie. You know, who threw a curse word in there? And so we didn't show the movie. We didn't show the movie, obviously. But sometimes we get twisted, right? I remember one time I was showing Princess Bride to our youth group in Florida. I'm like, it's Princess Bride. You remember the very end of the movie? He says a curse word. Amigo Monteo, whatever the guy's name is. It's like, and so we're watching it, and everybody's like, oh, oh. And then he says the curse word. Almost every kid in the youth group spins around. Pastor Randy, what are you showing us? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, your virgin ears have never heard that word before. But we get pretty twisted whenever when we come together as a church, don't we? We're like, oh, he said the D word. It's like we've never heard that. Anyway, I'm sorry. We get, you know, music can be a disputable matter. Video games, some words that we use, holidays, tattoos, not so much here. Body piercings, not so much here. Bodily augmentations or upgrades. They can be disputable matters. Our worship style can be a disputable matter. People can get bent out of shape because this one's doing that or not doing this. There was a time not too long ago, actually last year, when homeschooling was one of those disputable matters, right? Isn't it funny how everyone is a homeschooler now? Amen. So those who homeschooled, the joke is on them, right? Everybody's a homeschool family now. Just don't get one of those big cargo vans, all right? But anyway, it's a homeschool joke, man. It's when we would go to homeschool things, oh my goodness. Robin and I would walk in and we're like, we don't belong here. This is just not our people, but we've chosen to homeschool. But we're all homeschoolers now. But all these disputable matters, you know, it's been around. Stuff is around that can cause division. There are two extremes. There's legalism and there's libertinism. Legalism says we make a list of our convictions and we conform to them. Then we attempt to impose our personal convictions as normative for others. That's legalism. Libertinism says, since I'm free in Christ and the Bible forbids none of these things specifically, then I'm free to do any and all of them. And no one can stop me. Neither of those is the right thing. Neither of them is right. Romans 15:1, Paul says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Listen, when it comes to our unity, you and I, we've got to guard our unity. We have to be careful. And we have to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Here's the question. Now, I've read this verse for years. You've probably read it before. Who is the weak? Who's the weak one here that Paul's talking about? How is one weak and how is another strong? All right? Sometimes we, at least in the past, I think we've thought as the weak one is the person who gets offended by what we do. And so we walk around on eggshells. And listen, that's our culture today. That you, if you just, you know, look the wrong way, move the wrong way, I'm offended. And so we've thought that, well, if somebody's offended by what I do, then I shouldn't do it. We've found that isn't working too well for us. It doesn't work in the church either. And so we walk on eggshells with people, or we just don't invite them over to our house, right? For small group. Are we just, you know, like, I don't. And so we think the person who gets offended is the weak one. That's not the weak one. First, so how's one weak? How's one strong? First, one might be weak in his understanding or her understanding and grasp of the gospel. So don't look at it as like, you know, they're weak because they get offended. And, you know, we can't do it because, you know, of the weak people, the offended ones. How about it's because of their understanding and their grasp of the gospel? Second thing that could cause or explain someone's weakness is one may also be weak in the strength of this of his or her convictions. So maybe they don't have established convictions in an area of life that they need to have. So maybe, and also maybe they may be weak in their understanding and their grasp of the gospel. So the weaker brother or the weaker sister is not simply a person who disagrees with what I do and who gets upset by my actions or my freedom. The weaker brother or the weaker sister is the one who's likely to imitate me in what I do. And in so doing, they violate their own conscience and their own convictions. See, the weaker brother or the weaker sister is the one who's more likely to sin because they give in to another's convictions rather than living by their own. We all have convictions. We all have the ability to have convictions, and we all need to have our convictions. And so Paul, I believe what Paul's saying is, my actions, if I'm not careful, can cause someone else to say, oh, that's okay. Oh, it's okay. So if you like to have a beer every now and then, or you like to have a glass of wine every then now and then, and you never consider the fact that the person that you've invited over for dinner might be a recovering alcoholic, and you as a person, maybe even a leader in the church, and you say, you know what, hey, would you like a beer? And they say, oh, is that okay to do as a Christian? And so, and then they have a beer, and it causes them to fall. If we're not careful, our actions, the things that we do, can cause others to stumble. See, Paul's talking about unity. What unifies us? And he's talking about those things that govern or monitor our behavior. Biblical truth is one of those things that is, like I said, it's the non-negotiable. So many times when we develop a conviction in an area, we make the biggest mistake when we try to take it from the area of conviction and we put it in to biblical truth. Because we want a little bit more weight behind it. We want people to honor our convictions, and we want to justify those convictions biblically. We're looking for ways. But listen, sometimes the Holy Spirit just says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to remove from your life for a season. This is how I want you to act. And not every conviction that I have needs to move over to the biblical truth category. See, the church has gotten itself into a lot of trouble by doing that. And we've come across to a world as like, what are they doing? If I were to say, you know what? I believe we should all get rid of our televisions. Most of you'd be like, yeah. Okay, Sherry's in. But most of you'd be like, yeah, he's crazy. You should get rid of all your cassette tapes from the 80s. Like, well, I already did that. See, if I make my convictions, I try to make them equal to biblical truth, I get myself into some danger. There are some things that are going to be convictions, and that's okay. And we need to understand them as convictions. It's all right to have convictions. And because somebody doesn't share the same conviction as you, shouldn't cause division. It's a conviction. Now, when it comes to biblical truth, that's non-negotiable. You hear what I'm saying? See, biblical truth is what transforms us. This monitors my behavior. The Holy Spirit speaks to me individually about things. And God's doing things in my heart. Biblical truth, though, transforms me. And I embrace the truth. As painful as sometimes it is, as hard as it is sometimes, because, listen, all truth, you know, as holy as we might act on Sunday morning, truth is tough. There's some tough stuff in there. There's stuff about our sexual identity that is non-negotiable. There's stuff about what we should do, what we should say, that are non-negotiables. There's stuff about how we should live our lives that are non-negotiable. And then there's things that are personal convictions. And so Paul says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Consider who's around us. Consider who is with us when we do something. Care enough about the people around us to not just feel like, you know what, I'm free. Woohoo, God set me free. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Everything's lawful. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to indulge the sinful nature. So we need to know what box we're in and what box our friends are in when we get together. I'm going to give you a few boxes. Box one, I can't, and I struggle if I do. There may be people that you're with, you invite over, and you're developing a relationship with, and you may find that they're in box one. I can't, and I struggle if I do. Box two of people who say, I can't, but you can. I can't, but you can. Box three, I can, but it's a struggle for me. Box four, I can, and you can. Box five, how many boxes are there? Lots of boxes. I can, but I won't. Because others might stumble. If you want to talk about spiritual maturity, that's spiritual maturity. Box six. I can't, so I won't until I can. And box seven. I can, and I'll help others find freedom. See, we help weaker brothers and sisters by restricting our liberty. And then coming along aside of them and helping them understand why we restricted our liberty. Why do we not do that stuff? Why do we hold off? We encourage them to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. And if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and don't just wait for, like, well, if Pastor Randy doesn't say it's wrong, then I guess it's okay. No, please don't. You know, or if the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, then I'm just going to go do it. Listen, there are some things that you need to listen to the Holy Spirit tell you. There are some convictions, because where the Bible is silent, our convictions guide us. Because of the grace of God, we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't wait for your behavior to be governed by the law. See, love and law are not enemies. They're not opposed to each other. Love fulfills the law. Love not only prompts me and you to fulfill biblical truth, it guides and it governs our personal convictions. Because Because where the Bible is silent, conviction will guide us. There are things that can divide us. There's lots of things that can divide us. And as we pursue our relationship with the Lord, as we draw closer to Him, like we sang already this morning and we're about to sing again, as we talk about pursuing the Lord as He pursues us and drawing closer to Him, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. He's going to draw some lines for you, and He's going to say you need to stop doing that. Now, there's a tendency for us that when the Holy Spirit shows us something, that we want to grab everybody and say, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me, and we all need to do it. Don't forget, there are convictions and there are biblical truth. Please don't make your convictions equal with biblical truth. Even if the Holy Spirit showed you. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand where I'm coming from? We don't legalize this thing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and lead you. He will. He wants to. Would you stand with me? Listen, it all starts with a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe you're here because someone brought you, or maybe you felt something and you're like, I should be here this morning. And so you came and you're a part of the service. I want to invite you to take your first step. And that's a relationship with Jesus. He loves you. He has so much in store for you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. Can we pray? Father, God, we love You. We thank You for Your presence here today. We thank You, Lord, for what You want to do in our hearts. Lord, this morning I pray for that person who is here, but they're not in a right relationship with You. And I pray that You would deposit just enough faith inside their heart right now to reach out to You. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Can I just lead you in a simple prayer? A step that you'll take to begin a relationship with God? That's you. You say, Pastor Rainey, that's me. I need to begin a relationship with Jesus this morning. Would you slip up your hand? No one's looking around. It's just me, you, and God. I need a relationship with God this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, I surrender to You. Just say it. I surrender to You. I give You my heart. I give You my life. I accept what You did for me by giving Your Son Jesus. And I embrace that. I trust that. Come into my life. Holy Spirit, guide me. Lead me. Paths of righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.